This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So apparently this filter is about to give me gender euphoria, so let's go ahead and try it out. If I get triggered and start crying, I'm so sorry.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. You're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
Vanessa!
Oh my god, not yet, Madison.
It is in my head. I want it to be in all of our listeners' heads.
I mean, that's pretty much the point of this podcast, is to get the earworms that are stuck in our heads into our listeners' heads. This is actually just a shared trauma experience. Thank you for listening to ICYMI. But before we get into the TikTok sound that has not left me or Madison or our colleagues' heads because we're annoying, we are going to talk about the Wall Street Journal's recent investigation inside TikTok's highly secretive algorithm, which...
The secret to how those earworms implant into our brains.
Catchy title as well.
The Wall Street Journal, or a team at the Wall Street Journal, under journalist Joanna Stern, created over 100 automated TikTok accounts, so accounts run by bots, that watched hundreds of thousands of videos on the app. And what they found was kind of amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
surprising, I would say, but amazing to see it visualized and put out in a concrete way that isn't just you and I being like, I think this is how the algorithm is reading me.
Exactly. So many people have a kind of suspicion as to what makes the algorithm work. And it's kind of been informed by what TikTok has said, which TikTok officially says that shares, likes, and follows play a role in what content you're served. But the Wall Street Journal found that the most important thing was none of the choices you're really making, but how much time spent watching it.
Every second you hesitate or rewatch, the app is tracking you.
Just want to quiet the noise.
Through this one powerful signal, TikTok learns your most hidden interests and emotions and drives you deep into rabbit holes of content that are hard to escape.
So each of the bots was programmed like a human with a very limited scope of passions. So there would be a bot with interests of, let's say, depression and forestry. That was one of them, right? Like the sad tree-loving bot. It took TikTok not very long to figure out the specific interests per bot, somewhere between like 40 minutes to 2 hours. A single night for me in bed on TikTok.
It doesn't really seem like a lot of time, but that's somewhere between 200 to 1,000 videos because of how short TikToks are, or at least before the 3-minute TikToks were added in, which I think that this experiment was performed before that feature was introduced. And once the algorithm figured out your interest, like depression, 93% of videos shown were depressive content, and the only disruptive content, which is what wasn't included in that interest, were ads. Even some of the bots who had diverse interests, which were programmed not to like just one specific thing, ended up in these TikTok rabbit holes where an overwhelming majority of the content being shown were of one thing. And that's because TikTok and algorithms don't actually care about what you like. They care about what you're going to keep watching, even if you're watching in the way that you kind of watch a car crash. This is how people get served kind of more and more extreme or niche content. And we've covered this on our show. We had an entire episode on the TikTok rabbit holes that people get stuck in, that they're confused as to how they got stuck in. And I've had this moment as well. But I think one of the more frustrating things about the fact that the time spent looking at a content is what informs what you're seeing is that so much of internet culture coverage kind of presumes that everyone's seeing the same thing and that what you are seeing is not in any way shaped by your preferences, or not your preferences, but what content you're lingering on. There's kind of this presumption in a lot of internet culture reporting that everyone's seeing the same thin white women doing dances, when the truth is that's just the content that the mostly white women internet culture reporters are lingering over. And that's not a neg or a drag, but it is something that you need to consciously be aware of when you are covering these trends and making it seem as if everyone is seeing the same internet that you are. Everyone's internet is so extremely specific. And this Wall Street Journal investigation really demonstrated that that is on purpose.
It makes me think of, you know, every now and again, you'll get somebody complaining on Twitter about an ad they saw on a website or on their Facebook, and they'll be, you know, talking about how they're like offended by the ad, or like the ad is super off the mark, and it'll be a programmatic ad, meaning it was targeted to them based on their internet history. It's like you're telling on yourself.
No, exactly. And I've definitely had the moment where I'm just like, what about my previous browsing history has led you to believe that I want this specific thing? And it is somewhat fascinating that you would never in your life just point at that and think, this is what I want, mm-hmm. or this is what I want to see. But something about your previous internet consumption habits has led some algorithm to believe that you want to see that. And I think that's hard for people to compute because, again, it's not about what you like. It's about what you keep watching over and over and over again, even if it is in this way where it's just like, I am somewhat disgusted by this, which is why I think I keep getting served Marvel content.
Are you familiar with the Karen content economy on TikTok?
Like white women Karen?
Sort of, but it's, I mean, as with all words on the internet, like Karen is meaningless now, or be increasingly meaningless.
Yes.
And it'll be accounts devoted to just posting like cell phone camera videos.
Oh my God, yeah, I skip those every single time.
Like, okay, so, but regrettably, if you try to watch one or two every now and again, they take a while to build. So you are, you know, if I am interested in watching this white lady screaming in a parking lot, it takes time to get to the screaming. And now yes. I'm realizing, oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no.
No, I also think of all the times I've spent watching a video over and over again. And it's not because I'm watching, it's because I'm reading the comment section. Mm-hmm. And that is
brushing
teaching,
my teeth.
Yes, that's teaching the algorithm that I want to see this over and over again. And so I think in some ways, this is terrifying. And in other ways, this is very helpful in terms of training your algorithm. It is less about what you were liking and more about what you were continuing to watch. And so skipping is probably the most helpful thing you can do in terms of training your algorithm that you don't want to see something.
This Wall Street Journal investigation, you should go watch the video in full. It's really fascinating to see this great data visualization they did of sort of the galaxy of TikTok mm-hmm. content. But on a personal level, I'm really grateful for it because my girlfriend never skips TikTok. She will watch every single one start to finish.
I was like this.
And then complains that her For You page isn't great.
Yes.
That I have the good TikToks and hers is just sort of a grab bag. I'm like, this is the secret.
No, I, for my first few months on the app, would watch every single video. Oh, like, because I just wanted to see what the ending would be. And now I have gotten better about skipping things because I have realized that I'm just like, okay, I don't want to see anything like this, which is somewhat annoying in that sometimes you do want to see the end, but it doesn't mean you want to see 50 more of it.
Right. Especially because by the way social media platforms are designed, creators are creating. How many words do I know today? Creators make content with the goal of keeping you engaged for as long as they possibly can. Like every second your eyeballs stay on their stuff is valuable. So we're just getting played in both directions.
I see why am I getting played in both directions.
Speaking of the TikTok algorithm.
Madison.
Look, I'll learn another transition next week. But this week, speaking of. Today on the show, we're talking about a TikTok trend that has lasted for so many weeks and embedded itself so deeply into my brain and Rachel's brain that we have found ourselves singing it out loud in the office without really noticing it was happening.
Our coworkers were definitely noticing that it was happening.
There's only like three people in the office right now. It's fine. Sorry, guys. I am talking about the don't make me laugh. I've been trying all night. You've been shaking your ass for like half of the heights. Now you know what it's like to work in the Slate offices.
Vanessa.
The audio clip comes from In the Heights, the Broadway musical turned movie turned inescapable TikTok audio. It's a real case of a franchise getting the sort of organic, viral promotion that I think digital marketers probably sit in a room and drool about, dream about. The audio became a weirdly redeeming moment for In the Heights amidst a swirl of rightfully deserved criticism about colorism in the film's casting.
And what started out as kind of a jokey bit involving mustaches made out of liquid eyeliner or Ready Whip became an unlikely vehicle for gender euphoria on TikTok.
So, just to be clear, we're talking about something that is good today?
I know.
No drama?
We can't make that promise. There's definitely some drama. There's always drama. But yeah, mostly this thing just delights me. And I want to talk about it because I just love seeing people happy on the internet. But we'll get into more of that after the break.
After the break, me, Rachel, who has apparently become that girl from that scene in Mean Girls who just wants us to all get along and bake a cake of rainbows, we will all be talking about this TikTok.
She doesn't even go here.
Do you even go to this school?
No. I just have a lot of feelings.
The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy as is genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we are back. This next clip is for all of you folks who have Googled, what is the Vanessa TikTok song?
You're sloppy all night. You barely even danced with me.
Don't make me laugh. I've been trying all night. You've been shaking your ass for like half of the heights.
Real nice.
You barely gave me a chance all evening. Do I get another dance?
Just a little brief background, though. In the Heights came out June 10th. It's a Broadway musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda, turned big blockbuster musical film, a story of a block that's disappearing.
Somebody saw the trailer.
A block specifically in Washington Heights. The Heights, starring Anthony Ramos, Melissa Barrera. There's a lot of great people in this movie. There's also a lot of discourse around this movie because despite the demographic makeup of Washington Heights, there are no Afro-Latino people in leading roles. A lot of other writers have already tackled this subject, including this really amazing roundtable at the New York Times that we will link in the show notes. But we are here specifically to talk about how the musical made its way to TikTok, which it did for a multitude of reasons. Our focus is specifically the blackout scene.
So this song comes from the blackout scene in the movie, which is the big pinnacle of the film. The whole movie is a countdown, like 3 days till blackout, 2 days till blackout. Everything is set around the blackout. Literally what it sounds like, New York City blackout. Everybody's in the dark. It's July, very sweaty.
They're powerless.
They're in a club. The TikTok audio from the blackout scene was written for the movie. So it's a set of lines that if you are an In the Heights super fan, will be new to you. It's an exchange between Usnavi, who is the lead, Anthony Ramos, and Vanessa, played by Melissa Barrera, who are having a fight because Usnavi was not paying attention to Vanessa in the club all night. And Vanessa was really trying.
My first interaction with this clip is people being like, what the fuck? This is not Usnavi's character. And then 2 seconds later saying, but why does it slap, though? Why can't I get this out of my head?
I, unfortunately, have a broken brain, as we have established. And my stupid mind connected that the like interval leap between don't make me laugh is the same as in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs when the dwarf goes, hi-ho. And so now I can only picture like Dopey the dwarf singing this song.
You're snobby all night. You barely even danced with me.
Don't make me laugh. I've been trying.
I love that your brain is broken in a very specific musical theater way, because when you said interval leap, my brain went full white noise.
You play like two instruments.
I played one very badly. Anyway, you might notice that we're not actually playing a ton of the TikToks we're talking about. We are trying to do you a favor and not play the same audios 27 times. But basically, the original trend, besides the kind of pointing out of how different it was from the original stage production, is just couples playing opposite each other, just hamming it up to each specific line.
I think the Wall Street Journal video also was very satisfying to me, knowing now that it was my fault that I was seeing nothing but this video.
Yes.
Because I had spent months training my algorithm to show me theater stuff.
The fact that this audio is living about a month and a half later kind of goes to show the different journeys it's taken. There's the original OG, somewhat criticism of it. Then there's the couples playing opposite each other. And then
this is where it gets fun.
Then there's the solo venture, where in which one person plays both roles, which if you've ever tried to sing, you know, One Day More from Les Mis by yourself, you know exactly what's going on here.
I mean, I think maybe you should demonstrate for the good folks at
home. I'm sorry, that is premium content. Please subscribe to Slate Plus to get that in your feed.
Oh my God, please subscribe. I'm begging.
But so this is actually a pretty common TikTok practice of playing both parts
right,
at once.
Throwing a towel over your head mm-hmm. to pretend to be a woman with long hair.
Yes, exactly.
And that gets me every time. Just a dish towel as lady.
I don't know why. It's just so low budget. It's so funny every single time. But so people were doing that. People were putting liquid liner on their upper lip to kind of simulate a mustache and then wiping it off to do Vanessa's part and then drawing it back on for Usnavi's part. And the fact that the parts switch so fast towards the end of that clip just makes it so funny.
This trend takes off so organically and becomes so big that members of the cast start participating. I can't decide if this was like a thing they decided to do for fun or if HBO Max
PR person
said,
was just like, hey, can you hop on TikTok for a minute?
Grab some liquid liner.
Yeah. So at this point, the solo switching gets elaborate. A TikToker named Caleb Romo does this really cool thing with Madison. You've seen those LED light strips that every single person on TikTok has, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So they kind of go in the corners of your rooms. They light up all
like,
the primary quarters.
You like lace them around the ceiling.
Yes.
And then it creates a glowy like purple or green. Now you won't be able to unsee them.
Yes. And so he does this thing where he's switching back and forth between the red and the blue on the light strips as this TikTok sound is playing. And in the red light, he has on lipstick and eyeliner. And in the blue light, he has on a beard. And if you've been on TikTok, you're kind of used to jump cuts that are really incredible and have like this incredible level of editing that I still am shocked at. But there's no cuts here. It's just happening. And so everyone in the comments is like, how are you doing this? And I'm going to let him explain because I don't understand color theory, and he does.
For this look to work, you only need two colors, red and blue. So I'm taking the James Charles palette. It's the only one that I have with these colors in there. So this red right here and then this lighter blue down here. Don't look at my nails. But yes, yeah, so those are the only two colors you're going to need, and then we'll get into the look. I'm going to take this red and start stippling it in over the beard area where we want his beard to be. And then once you have something like this, you're just going to take a concealer and on an angled brush, just go in and place down your wing liner. And that's going to help the blue set on it a little bit better. And now I'm just going over it with this lighter blue color. Then you're just going to need the lashes, which I can make a tutorial if you want to know how to make the blue lashes. Then you'll just add a blue lip and you're done.
You just switch between both of them.
People who are clearly smarter than me and Madison figure this out real fast. And everyone has these LED lights. And they all hop on this trend.
This is where somebody over at TikTok HQ, ByteDance HQ, gets wise. And they build a TikTok native filter that does this for you. So you do not need to know how to apply makeup or own the LED lights. It's a filter that when the background is blue, you have a beard. And when you blink, it changes to red and you will be Vanessa.
The thing about this filter is that it, A, becomes extremely popular, and B, it's not exactly intuitive as to what makes it work. So there is this moment where my TikTok feed is full of this Vanessa sound and also people trying to make this filter work, and then only towards the end of the sound figuring out that you have to blink. And it's so funny. But also a lot of people seem to figure out that they look like their dads and or Jesus as men. Which, a vibe, a moment.
Okay, so I'm a pretty lady with this filter, but as a dude, why am I hot Jesus? Have you ever seen The Passion of the Christ? Would you like to? Actually, I was...
Looking like your dad or Jesus aside, this trend within a trend within a trend? Are we three trends deep at this point?
I think maybe there's one more. I think we're...
Four trends deep?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Add within a trend one more time.
Within a trend. Mm-hmm. Emerges among trans folks and non-binary folks, who some of whom describe using the filter as a surprising moment of gender euphoria. Gender dysphoria, the opposite of gender euphoria, is not feeling good in one's gender and comfortable in it and how you present and feel in the world. Gender euphoria is the positive opposite of that. So, for example, seeing yourself with a masculinized face and a beard.
Trend is so wholesome. I love this trend. Again, I love seeing people happy. And the best part about this specific sound is that because Vanessa goes first in the song, there's this moment where Vanessa is talking and she's saying, "You've barely danced with me all night." And then the blue filter switches over and you can see people being surprised and then so happy. And it's just so... I just love to see it. There's this one from this user called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Spang Hue. And so as Vanessa is singing, on the screen it says, "So I tried to do this trend." Then Usnavi comes in, and then on the screen there's just like a tiny, "What?" And then they're just looking at themselves and just kind of blinking and happy and smiling. And then on screen, gender euphoria. And the caption, "I need to go on T, meaning testosterone, right now. I don't want to wait anymore."
We should note that not everyone likes this filter. There are some very funny videos from other trans folks who tried it and were like, "Nope, absolutely not."
Yeah, there's this one from Xandra, who's non-binary.
"This really is confirming that I am non-binary because I really hate both of these."
And then this one from at Smorpadorp.
"Everyone with this filter is like, gender envy this, gender envy that. You want to know what I look like? How did you get so lucky?"
So basically, there is a wide range of diversity within people's response to this filter, which, you know, on this podcast, we love and stand diversity. If you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, there isn't one. Well, actually, there is one. There is a TikTok of somebody who is Asian, who the TikTok filter just reads him as constantly blinking because apparently no one at ByteDance has heard of monolids. Basically, there is nothing that's completely happy on the internet. I'm sorry. I really hyped this up as a moment of pure happiness.
We mostly wanted to discuss the trend path of an earworm like this on TikTok, though, right? To trace the evolution from viral audio to creative innovations to it finally, the final boss, the last thing that happens to an internet piece of internet joy before it dies.
Capitalism.
TikTok turning it into a formal property. Mostly this was an exorcism, though.
I don't think that worked. I still have it stuck in my head. I also think we probably spread the earworm.
I think there's only one thing left to try.
I'm kind of scared about what you're about to say.
The one breath dancing queen challenge.
Oh my God. Madison, I told you I am not musically inclined. Also, my roommate hates this challenge. because I keep singing it because I'm not musically inclined. Are you going to do it? This is the new Rick Rolling.
This is like Rick Rolling, but 1,000% worse.
Anyway, the Dancing Queen One Breath Challenge.
A vocal challenge from a musician named Sammy Ray, where you sing a riffed version of the chorus of Dancing Queen by ABBA, and you do it in one breath.
This is my Dancing Queen One Breath Accuracy Challenge. It's got some cool rhythms and some cool jumps, so do at me if you can do this. You're gonna start up here. 1, 2. You can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life. Ooh, see that girl, watch that scene, she is a dancing queen. You did it.
All I'm saying is if you try to do that like 15 times in a row, you will no longer have Usnavi All Night stuck in your head. This is good advice.
You're not wrong. And yet, I kind of like Usnavi more because I can't do the one breath challenge.
Oh my God. Stop.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to go sing Dancing Queen. Rachel is just going to linger in the heights. On Heights Talk forever.
I will forever be in the Heights. And that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe. It's free, and the best way to never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode or an earworm. And please leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Talk about us at all the parties y'all are now going to. Tell us about how y'all are talking about us at all the parties you're going to. Tell us on Twitter, where you can follow us at @icymi_pod, which is also where you can DM us your questions, your earworms, your praise, your memes. DM us pretty much anything. User discretion, though. You can always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com, and we might have you on the show.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman and Allegra Frank are our editors, and Gabe Roth is editorial director of audio. See you online.
Or in the Heights.
No.
You can dance, you can just. Please make it stop.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, listener. Dahlia Lithwick here, host of Amicus, that's Slate's podcast on the courts and the law and democracy and the rule of law. This May, our team will be publishing a special project that we are calling How Originalism Ate the Law. This neutral and academic-sounding methodology of looking at the law is, in fact, anything but neutral. Originalism is to the conservative legal movement what peanut butter is to jelly. As we're going to show you over the course of this project, originalism has been both cover and calling for conservative justices and judges to radically overhaul the lives of millions of Americans. And while they claim to be the apolitical interpreters of the Constitution and its authors' intents, they have overturned Roe, radically expanded gun rights, and eviscerated voting rights. Across Slate.com and the Amicus podcast, we're going to be tackling questions like, where did originalism come from? Why has it taken over? Are progressive originalists really a thing? And am I allowed to have an opinion on originalism? Spoiler, the answer to that last question, you are. To celebrate the launch of this big project, we are running a special 2-week-long free trial of Slate Plus on Apple Podcasts. As a member, you'll get exclusive episodes from How Originalism Ate the Law, plus ad-free listening to all of your favorite Slate podcasts. Join now by clicking Try Free at the top of the Amicus show page or visit slate.com/amicusplus to get access wherever you listen.